Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. WVQC LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WVQC LP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WVQC LP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WVQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
WVQC.7 is online at WVQC.org. Hemp Rock is online at HempRock.com. The Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people.
Thank you.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. We envision new drug policies grounded in science, compassion, health, and human rights.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because it fosters debate on drug policy.
Because the war on drugs represents an extraordinary violation of human rights.
Because whether you use drugs or not, you deserve to be treated with respect, kindness, and dignity.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I'm a scientist.
Because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
We believe the war on drugs is really a war on people.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I want my children to receive honest drug education.
Because it's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to tell the truth about drugs and our failed drug policies.
Because the war on drugs is a war on people of color.
The Drug Policy Alliance promotes harm reduction.
Because the drug problem is a health problem, not a criminal problem.
We promote new solutions to reduce the harms of both drug use and drug prohibition.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I believe in the right to sovereignty over one's own mind and body.
Because so many people are incarcerated.
I know. I spent 12 years in prison because of a first-time nonviolent drug offense.
Because I believe in personal freedom and personal choice.
Because the drug war
is not the war on drugs, it's
the war on people. I'm Tony Papa.
I'm George Soros.
I'm Sting, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I'm Larice Harvey.
I am Dr. Matilda Krim.
I'm Elizabeth Sarnoff.
I'm Montel Williams, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. Online at drugpolicy.org. Please join us.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queens City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's 95.7 FM.
And we are at 95.7 FM here in the Cincinnati area. Let me get my microphone up just a little bit better. And I am, of course, the happy hemptress today. It's getting a little bit better out there, folks. It is, but it isn't. So I'm happy about some things, happy about today's show and things coming, but not happy about other things. And I feel the same way that Tony Bennett does. If you guys watched the Grammy Awards last night, it was a huge tribute to Whitney Houston. Of course, I will just say this for a minute. I'm a little bit disgusted that they didn't do a better tribute other than just a couple comments from LL Cool J, which was nice. But what about Don Cornelius, you guys? Remember, this is hemp rock. It isn't just hemp. So I do like to get music in there. So I just have to say, very sorry about what happened with Don Cornelius, but I'm extremely upset that the Grammys dissed him like they did. They did a pretty good tribute to Etta James, a wonderful tribute to Whitney Houston with, Jennifer Hudson. I know her name. And a lot of other great stuff, but poor Don Cornelius left him out, kind of, and so I have to say that. But I also have to say, wow, the news is out, guys. Whitney Houston, legal pharmaceutical drugs, Xanax and others, they're not saying yet, and alcohol. That's right, folks, not illegal drugs, legal drugs, because they're a lethal dose. When you mix them together, they can really kill you. And just ask Whitney and many other people. Amy Winehouse, of course, there was probably not alcohol with Michael, but that just goes to show you pharmaceutical drugs are bad for you when you don't do them correctly, at least. And even when you do them correctly, they kill thousands more than, you know what, marijuana. So wow, what do you say when I actually predicted it. I said over the weekend when the story of Whitney came out that I knew immediately what had happened. Legal drugs and alcohol is what killed her. I predicted it, and I was right. And sad, sad state. That's all I can say. Real quick, because I want to get a few things in before our guest, but I do want to tell you the special, special guest today is somebody I've known for many years. And as long as I have, I've been saying I'm going to get them on a show and interview them. And we're finally doing it today. Although he's not in the band that he started out in, he's still playing the same wonderful music. And, of course, the guest today will be Damian Darlington. He is the lead guitarist of the British Pink Floyd band, otherwise known as Brit Floyd. You can find them at britfloyd.com. They are kicking off their U.S. tour starting February the 23rd. Although I'll tell you guys, in Pittsburgh, you got two shows, the 23rd and 24th of this month. The first night on Thursday is already sold out. Now, what does that say? You would think that they'd want to sell out and go to the Friday night show. People don't have to usually go to work on Saturday, but they're sold out already for the Thursday night. So I guarantee you that second night will probably get sold out too. But that does kick off the U.S. tour. They will be in Pennsylvania. Then they're swinging around on the 27th of February to our state here in Ohio. I will give you a list of all the states they're playing before the end of the show, of course. But stay tuned in a few minutes. Damian Darlington will be calling in from London to be talking about his band and its future and the tour. And why, as some people like to say, why Pink Floyd? Because they're the best. And anyway, we're going to be talking to Damian about that. But I kicked off the show with, that's right, it really wasn't Pink Floyd. It really was Brit Floyd with Astronomy Domine. Okay. So I'll have a couple other cuts throughout the show from their live shows, and you'll see why they are one of the world's greatest tribute bands for Pink Floyd, my favorite band, because I'm also the Floydian Hemptress. Look me up. I'm out there. Now, I want to remind everybody, of course, it is WVQC. We are at WVQC.org and at 95.7 FM. A little bit of glitch here, a little bit of glitch there, but we are strong and we are on. So if you're out there driving around or actually in your home in some areas in the city area here and across the river, you can hear us on your radio if you tune in pretty good. But if you missed last week's shows at all, or even the week before, and some of the other ones throughout the holidays, I do have them up at the WEEDRadioNetwork.com. You can go there, look on the archive link, and find those shows, including last week's with, I think it was last week. I've kind of lost track of time. But Master Sergeant Tony Vance from Kentucky, who is helping push the Gatewood Galbraith medical marijuana Senate Bill 129 for his memorial bill. That show is up. You can go check that out and spread that to your friends and to make sure that they call their senators and congressmen in the state of Kentucky to support the Gatewood Galbraith Memorial for medical marijuana, as well as the hemp bill. You can hear about that also at WEEDRadioNetwork.com. I just want to give a quick shout out to Leah. She was on the show a couple of weeks ago plugging her Cincinnati's 12th annual Bob Marley One Love Birthday Tribute. It is March 2nd. Oops, excuse me. Didn't mean to beat up my microphone there. But anyway, it's at Mad Frog. And for more information, you can go to 513-742-2808 and check that out for the Reggae Bob Marley Festival here in town. It is a yearly event. Also, she was on the show. You can go check that show out as well at the Weed Radio Network. Now, real quick, tomorrow's show, we are going to have a special guest. I always say special guest. Everybody's a special guest as far as I'm concerned, but this guy really is a special guest. I am honored to have in my possession, although I admit it, I did cut it up into a couple of pieces and framed it so you could see the front and the back. It is the original shirt that says, "Cops say legalize drugs, ask me why." I got that at a conference years ago, and actually I didn't win it. The winner gave it to me as a gift. He did that with everybody. He beat everybody in the auctions for the prizes and then gave them to everybody who he was fighting against to win it. So I ended up with the shirt, the original shirt that Howard Ruldridge, retired police officer who started out with LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and then split off and founded COPS, Citizens Opposing Prohibition. He works Congress. He works the Senate. He's bouncing around all over the place and pushing the legalization of marijuana. Hasn't smoked pot in 30 years, but he still thinks it should be legal, and he's right. This past week, he was at the CPAC, the Conservatives PAC conference down in Atlanta, and he's made some press, and so we're going to bring him on, and we're going to talk about that and everything that he's doing, so stay tuned for that tomorrow. And but the, all week long, folks, every day this week, I want you to call. Now, most of you have cell phones, I know, so it's not going to cost you anything. Dial 202-456-1414. Now, why am I telling you to dial that number? It is Obama's number. His secretary or somebody answers, of course. Too bad he doesn't. Boy, he'd get a piece of my mind. But he got a piece of my mind anyway this morning. I called on behalf of ASA and all medical states, all medical patients, including myself, and every bill that's coming and every bill that's passed. It's the Medical Marijuana Week, folks, and ASA and others are asking you to call. And, of course, if you don't know, that's Americans for Safe Access. And other organizations are calling on us to call Obama and tell him to keep his promise that he made during the election that he is now thwarted, ignored, and even laughed at. Call him up, tell him you're disgusted, you're not going to vote for him unless he keeps his promises. That's what I did. Again, 202-456-1414, okay? And tell them what you think. I did. Well, most of it anyway. I didn't really say what I think, but what I want them to do. If I would have told them what I think, they'd have hung up on me. So I vent my anger here. So now, I'm going to go ahead and roll up this clip because I think we have a call coming in. So we'll be back in just a few minutes after the break with Damian Darlington from Britt Floyd. It's Hemp Rock Radio.
Hey, I'm Willie Nelson, and I started the Teapot Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at Facebook.com/Teapot Party or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that one.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers the simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
Yeah. WVQC.
Yeah, all right.
Radio for the people, by the people.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC-LP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM, and WVQC.org, low power to the people. Also on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
All right, it is Hemp Rock, just like Willie said, and wow, takes me away. It's just unbelievable that that really was not Pink Floyd. Can you imagine that? That is my segue, of course, to my very, 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 very special guest today who is on the phone with us. Of course, that was Damian Darlington on the guitar doing the David Gilmour rendition from The Wall. Is there anybody out there? And I'm saying, is there anybody out there that hasn't seen Brit Floyd needs to do that? Damian, are you there?
I am.
How are you? How are you, honey?
I'm very good, thanks.
Thank you for joining us, finally. Let's see if I can do the math. I'm going to say it was probably the end of 2004, the tour that you guys were on in Detroit, here in the U.S., that I... couple places, actually. First, it was, I think, Akron, Ohio, then Detroit. Met you guys, and of course, you were all part of another tribute band called the Australian Pink Floyd Show that we were checking out, and we became friends, and I told you then that when I got back on the air, I wanted to interview you. And I didn't know that there was going to be some changes in incarnations change, but I am still pleased to do that, and I am so glad you guys are out there touring. So thank you for joining Hemp Rock Radio today.
That's no problem. It's great to be on the show.
And, okay, so I'll tell you, you know, the listeners of this show know that I'm a Floyd head. I make a point of it almost every show to bring something of Pink Floyd or along those lines into the show. So for me, this is the kind of stuff that I like to do. Now, of course, you didn't, I don't know if you were listening online. You are in London, and you could have heard the show. I don't know if you were listening in the beginning, but it is Medical Marijuana Week here in the States. And so I'm encouraging everybody to call our president and tell him to do what he promised and things like that. So, of course, that is a major element of the show, but so is the music. And the music that has inspired me, of course, is Pink Floyd. And so I want to talk to you first about yourself and what brought you into music to begin with, because I know you've been playing guitar an awful long time. So start with how you did get into guitar and music and your early years before we go into the band information. So tell us how you got started, Damian.
Well, I'm sort of from quite a large musical family. I've got a number of older brothers and sisters who were all musicians when I was growing up. So I think it was pretty inevitable that I followed in their footsteps. And you know, and I got my first guitar for Christmas when I was about 11 years old, and
cool.
I just started copying what my big brother was doing on the guitar and learned as much music as I could.
Now, I'm going to say this because I know this. This is the same big brother that made you not want to smoke marijuana, right?
Well, he had a bit of a colourful past in his younger days, you know. So there were one or two incidents along the way which sort of like made me perhaps not want to go down the same path as he did. But you know, it's each to his own. is my philosophy.
Absolutely. Well, that's the irony that I want folks to understand. Although, you know, I'm sure that everybody listening are smokers. I am. You obviously know that. A lot of other folks. But I just have to say this, that although I know you have never, except, you know, I will say this, although I shouldn't, but you have drank some beer with some marijuana in it, haven't you?
Yes, I did, yeah.
So you're not really a cannabis virgin that way, you know?
Not completely, just a semi-one.
But all I can say is to folks that, you know, because a lot of people think, oh, you know, you got to smoke pot. Well, you don't have to. If you want to, like Damian says, that's okay. But I think he is proof enough that you don't need to smoke marijuana to play great Pink Floyd. The only thing I would say is that... Boy, Damian, if you only knew the level that it could take you to with it. Yeah. Well, you know, someday we'll me and your brother are gonna break that.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Now, I'm talking about Gareth, of course, now, who I'm referring to. Damien, of course, knows Gareth, his brother, I believe your younger brother, is the sound guy that runs sound for the tours, and he does a fantastic job. And so let's see now. So when did you start thinking about getting into a Pink Floyd tribute band?
Well, I mean, when I was still a teenager and learning, I got into Pink Floyd. I think I was about 14 when I first heard a Pink Floyd album all the way through, which was The Wall. And I was hooked on it straight away. I found it fascinating. I really liked and admired the guitar playing for a start, but I also loved all the, you know, the interesting sound effects and the sort of story that was being told with the album. So that introduced me to Pink Floyd. So I learned some of the songs. I learned Comfortably Numb, Brick in the Wall, etc. But it wasn't until much later on, I think I was 24 when I first joined the Australian Pink Floyd show. And back then, tribute bands were a very new thing. You know, there weren't that many of them. I just happened to hear that this band was looking for a replacement guitarist for one of the original guys who decided he was going to go to home to Australia because the band was in the UK at the time. So I went along for the audition, got the job. A week later, I was doing my first gigs with them round Ireland. So that's how quick it was.
And what year was that, Damien?
94. January 94 was the first time I gigged with the Australian Floyd.
So that was during the Division Bell concerts that they were doing?
It was just a few months before the Division Bell album came out, before they started that tour.
Wonderful. You know,
the Floyd's final proper tour.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, you know, I like to say that now there are the two biggest Pink Floyd tribute bands in the world, because it's kind of hard to say since you guys have all... So from 94, that's roughly about 17 years you were with Aussie, give or take?
Yeah, I did my final Australian Pink Floyd show tour in the US and Canada in 2010. November 2010 was my last show in Chicago.
Yes, I was there. And what a great show. Well, as you know, I love all of you guys. And I mentioned in the email that nothing wrong with having more Pink Floyd tribute bands. It's just that many more live Pink Floyd shows that are out there that are touring around. I could go to a Pink Floyd concert every day. I know people just think that's crazy, but I really could, and I would enjoy it the same every day.
It's great that people get the chance. I mean, this is wonderful music, so it's nice if people get the chance to hear it live.
Exactly.
That's no problem at all.
Exactly. So now, let's see. Were you in other tribute bands or other even original acts prior to this yourself?
Yes, certainly. You know, I did all the being in various bands, doing our own music, trying to get record deals, doing demos and all the rest of it. I've done all of that. The way life turned out, I went down the road of with tribute bands, and it's been very good to me. I've played all over the world with it, got to meet some amazing people along the way, and I'm still having fun doing it right to this day.
Yeah. Now, speaking of meeting people along the way, when you guys were with Aussie, now how many in the band today in Brit Floyd, besides yourself, were part of the Aussie before you guys split into two?
Well, absolutely everybody who plays in Brit Floyd has played with the Australian Pink Floyd show at some point or another. You know, going back to some of the backing vocalists, for instance, go right back to 2003. Ian, the guy who our Roger Waters in the band, he first toured in 2005 with the Australian Pink Floyd show. So at one time or another, everybody has been on the road, certainly in the US and Canada with them. With the Australian Floyd.
Yeah. Now let's give Ian a plug, because before that he was actually out of a band out of Syracuse, New York. Childhood's End, taken from a title of a Pink Floyd song, one of my favorite songs by Floyd. So he's been out there even before you guys and Aussie playing the Floyd music, and he is a great asset. We love Ian. He certainly is the Roger of Brit Floyd. Unbelievable. But now, so out of the group that you're with now, how many of you guys got to play the David Gilmour 50th birthday party that his wife Polly Sampson got Aussie to play? I know you were there.
Well, actually, that goes back quite a long way. That happened in 96, so it's actually only myself because back then the Australian Pink Floyd show was just a five-piece band that we didn't have backing vocalists. We didn't even have a saxophonist, so it was just myself and the four other original Australians who did that show.
Fantastic.
In 96.
Well, from your perspective, tell us about that for a minute, because I know that is one of the highlights of what you guys did, and I know what you did. So just from your perspective, obviously you're Brit Floyd now, and you're the only one that was there, but you know, considering it is a Pink Floyd topic and a Pink Floyd tribute, I think that's important to talk about how David took to seeing the band live.
Well, that all came about, if you go right back to 94 again, the first year I was playing with the Aussie Floyd, we did a show in London at a place called the Fairfield Halls in Croydon, which is a part of London. And at the end of the show, we went back to the dressing room, and there was a knock on the door, and David Gilmour appeared. You know, wow. And obviously it was a huge shock to us, and we sort of picked ourselves back up off the floor and invited him in and had a beer with him. And out of that, there came an invitation to go along to Earl's Court for the end of World Tour party, because Floyd had yet to do their final run of gigs at Earl's Court at that stage, you know, the one that's on the Pulse DVD and video.
That was my next question. Did you make that show that was recorded October 20th that year in 94?
I wasn't actually at the one that was filmed, but I went to two other shows along the way, including one where we went to this party after the gig, which was massive party backstage at Earl's Court.
I bet. Well, they did 14 shows that in 3 weeks' time at Earl's Court.
Yeah. It was quite a long run of gigs there.
Yeah.
So out of that, a couple of years later, we got another phone call saying, it's David Gilmour's 50th birthday party. How do you fancy coming along and playing an hour's set for him? So obviously we thought about it for about a millisecond and said yes, and we even got paid for doing it, which was a bonus, you know. So and it was a set that was actually picked by David Gilmour himself. He just asked us to tell him what songs we could play, and from that list he picked the ones he wanted to hear.
Well, now I'm really curious, what were some of those songs that he picked?
It was actually, strangely enough, it was mostly tracks from The Wall that he picked. But maybe that's because some of them are shorter and maybe he thought they were a bit more suitable for a party. I don't know. But we certainly ended up playing probably about two-thirds of it was wall material.
That's really funny. Very funny. Well, I know I saw something that he had talked about the incident, that what he liked about it was that, you know, he's David Gilmour, so other than recorded concerts, he's never been able to go to a live Pink Floyd show. And that's kind of sad when you think about it.
I sort of, to a certain extent, I know how he feels.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a Brit Floyd gig, you know, but... One interesting little story from that was that, you know, Comfortably Numb, there's what's called the mirror ball moment in the guitar solo in Comfortably Numb, where all the lights go on the mirror ball. And David Gilmour was actually up on the balcony in this room where the lighting desk was and the sound desk, and he was actually telling them when to put the mirror ball on. He was apparently quite excited about this fact and wanted to get it just right, like, when they put all the lights on the mirror ball.
Well, I'm so glad that he thinks about as highly of that ball that I do and everybody else, because it's a fan favorite. And, you know, my first experience with that was the 1973 Dark Side of the Moon tour here in Cincinnati. That anniversary is coming up on March 8th for me, 1973. I was 13, Damien. And I did smoke some really good pot. Some hippies passed a big fat joint down to me and my friend. And boy, I was high. We were high the next morning going to school. We don't really know what that was, but it had pot in it. But one of the things that always got stuck in my mind was that ball. And although it was different back then, and I sort of remember it being flat, not really a ball back then, but how it, when it did come on and it spins, as you know, it puts the 1,000 points of light, as it can be called, around the entire arena. And that, boy, that stuck in a 13-year-old's mind. That and, of course, my second favorite song, I should say, Echoes. That that set just blew me away. And I didn't even know who the band was when I went. I was there trying to meet my boyfriend. We had a date that we were hooking up there and never found him, but I found Pink Floyd, I always say. And so, yeah, that ball is one of the favorites that everybody loves. Of course, now I think that the ultimate of that was probably the 94 tour. And although some of the cities had it hanging and hidden, obscured like you guys do on the smaller scale, but they had it in a gigantic big thing out in the middle of the floor of the arena. Did you ever see the shows where it came up out of the floor, this contraption in the floor?
I've seen some video clips, but yeah. When I saw it in London at Earls Court, it was suspended from the ceiling.
Yes, it was suspended. That's right. They had different tech stuff on that. So, yeah, I was lucky to see five of that tour in different cities. I guess four different cities, but five shows. And each place, because of the setup, had to do different stuff with that. So that was one of the reasons for that. So it was kind of cool the way that they changed it up and still had the same effect. So I appreciate that David would feel as particular about that as the rest of us, because that's
he's very proud of it, I'm sure.
I'm sure they are. Well, that's so cool. Very cool. So now let's go on to what Britt is doing now. You are at BrittFloyd.com, and I'm just going to say this. Ignore any rumors out there that the tour has been canceled. It is not canceled, and we want everybody to know that. So you're still in London. Do you have any shows right now coming in to this tour here, or are you guys on a break right now?
We've been on a bit of a break. We played a show in Beirut in the Middle East, of all places, just before Christmas. That was our last show.
Wow.
But we're flying out to the U.S. A week tomorrow, and we start the tour in Pittsburgh on the 23rd of February. We've got two gigs at a place called the Benedum in Pittsburgh.
You know, the first night is sold out already.
It has, it's great.
That's fantastic. So, I'm interested. How did the people of Beirut take to you? I mean, obviously they love Floyd, or you wouldn't be there. But I'm just curious to know how the country was and your experience there.
It was wonderful. We were there for about 3 days in total, so we had time to look around, and we were treated very, very hospitably indeed. You know, the people looked after us wonderfully, and the show was amazing. There were about 5,000, mostly very young people from Beirut who were absolutely mad about Pink Floyd and singing along to every song.
Fantastic.
I'm looking forward to going again the next Christmas, hopefully, around about the same time.
See, now, in my philosophy and my belief, I think that there should be Floyd tribute bands touring the entire Middle East every day, and it would probably change things over there.
You may well be right there.
You know,
I'm sure it wouldn't do any harm
if everybody would just sit down and listen to Pink Floyd. Everybody and smoke pot. Of course they do. they do that, of course. But I think the world would be a different place if more people would listen to Pink Floyd. That's for sure. Rock and roll in general, but specifically Pink Floyd. So now I'm gonna scroll down here. I want folks to know the different cities here in the States that you're coming to. As Damien said, they're kicking off the 23rd in Pittsburgh, but that is sold out. So if you're out of that area, the next night they are there as well on Friday. And then you're in Johnstown, Pennsylvania on the 25th. And then our favorite, of course, Akron, Ohio, at the Civic Center. That's where we first met a number of years ago. That is the 27th of February. And then for us Ohio folks here, and we like to call it the Ohio State here, Damien, and you are in Toledo. That is just a few hours north of us, at the Huntington Center on the 28th, which is a Tuesday. And then I like this. You're in Detroit, Michigan, where some friends of mine are, of course, that you know, on Leap Day. How's that? That's a cool time to play, I think, on Leap Day.
Not exactly. You don't do as many gigs on the 29th of February, do you?
not many at all. So that's got to be a good one, karmically. And then now, of course, you're going to swing up to Canada. You're going up to Toronto on the 1st of March, and then the 2nd and 3rd, you're in Montreal. And I know what the Halifax is in the NS. Tell me what that is, and I know what it is.
Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia. I couldn't think of the name. I'm sitting there going, okay, what place is that? I know. Anyway, you'll be in Nova Scotia. March 6th, of course, is David Gilmour's birthday. You'll be in Moncton, Now, I know that's New Brunswick. I'm going to say Nebraska because it's an NB, just because my brain is going to go to America, even though that's North America in Canada. And then on March 7th and 8th, you're still, well, the 7th, you're still in New Brunswick. Then you're going to Quebec, Sherbrooke, Quebec. That's March 8th, and that's my anniversary. I'd love to go up there and share that, but not. And then March 9th and the 10th, you're in Quebec. And I've been to Quebec, but not to see you guys. Took my son's band up there years ago. If you can imagine a death metal band playing up in Quebec, Canada. Teenagers, I drove them up to Quebec, Canada, a 24-hour drive. What fun that was when Jesse was 16, who, of course, you know. And in Boston, then, you're coming back to the States on March 11th. That is at the House of Blues in Boston, Massachusetts. And then you're going to go chocolate on us. You're going to Hershey, Pennsylvania. Don't forget to go taste the chocolate and then tell them they need to make it safe chocolate and not slave chocolate. That's a big petition out there towards the Hershey and companies like that. That is March 15th. And actually, those tickets went on sale just a few days ago. And then you're going to be in Connecticut at the Oakdale Theater on March 16th. The 17th, you're in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, and Asbury Park, New Jersey on the 18th. The 19th, you're in Baltimore, Maryland. Then you're going to go to New York from the 21st at New York City, and then on the 22nd, you're in Syracuse. Now, that ought to be fun for Ian.
Yeah, that's his hometown, of
course. Right. That's exactly right. Ian is from Syracuse, New York, the bass player that we like to call Roger. And that'll be a good show for you guys. He's going to have family and everybody there. That's really cool. And, boy, what a great time that'll be for you guys. Then, of course, you're coming back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to add that all the guys from Childhood End are sort of doing their best to promote that show, which is very nice of them as
yes,
well.
Yes, so absolutely.
And there's a few of those guys I haven't actually met yet, so I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be very nice, very nice. Well, I like I said, that's one of my favorite songs. That he took that from a book by Arthur C. Clarke, and a really cool sci-fi book, so I recommend people to read that so they know where the title came from. But now, of course, we are blessed here in Ohio. You're coming back to Ohio again on March 23rd. That's a Friday night, folks, in Columbus at the Lifestyle Communities Pavilion. So I think it's great as you guys are really concentrating in this part of the country, this tour. And so after that, of course, you're going back to Chicago on the 24th on Saturday, and then swinging back around to Indianapolis, Indiana, one of my favorite places to not only see tribute bands, but I've seen Floyd there twice, I guess. And then moving on to Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, of course, on March 27th, and then Minneapolis, Minnesota at the Brick on the March 28th, Wednesday, and then looks like 1 month later. Are you swinging back around? You're going to go home and then come back, it looks like? I guess that's the kickoff of the fall tour. Is that what I'm seeing here?
Yeah, no, well, that's there's a date on at Red Rock, which, you know, near, you know, a very famous venue near Denver in Colorado.
Yeah.
And we're doing that in September, so that's sort of getting that one announced nice and early. We'll be coming back to the U.S. in September to do some more shows leading up to that date, so we'll probably go to some of the parts of the country that we don't get to go to on this run.
On the West Coast, obviously.
Yeah, I
saw that, because I know that that's one of the things you want to do is tour both sides, so I kind of assumed, and I was going to ask you if you were swinging back around for a kind of a fall tour on the West Coast, and so it looks like that's part of that. That, again, is at the Red Rocks Amphitheater, and tickets go on sale May 19th for that at the Morrison, Colorado Amphitheater, September 28th. So that's really a great thing, because I know that is such a neat place. I've never been there, but great acts play there all the time. And I know that it's a lot of fun to go to a place like that. And so now I also, of course, want to let everybody know that besides the U.S. tour, I'm going to click back on my page. I should say your page. Uh-oh, I'm not going. It's not working. And I have a connection. It's just a very slow connection at the moment. So for some reason, I'm not looking. It's not clicking back. But I know that you have some dates coming up in other areas in Europe. After the U.S. tour here, you're going to be kicking back off over into the different countries over there. Unfortunately, my stuff is not going to it. So.
Well, I've got the page up in front here.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm looking at the same thing. Yeah, the from the 2nd of May onwards, we're doing a UK tour, a lot of shows around the UK and a couple in Ireland as well. And then later in the year, in the late fall, November, December, we'll be doing lots of shows in Europe. At the moment, we've got 21 dates in France announced at this stage, but there'll be a whole lot more gigs to be announced to coincide with that as well, in Germany and Scandinavia and Italy and Spain.
Wonderful.
Places like that.
Very neat. Now, last but not least, I don't want to end this conversation without giving kudos to Brian Kolupski, I believe it is.
Yep.
I could be pronouncing that wrong. But, of course, you can find this guy at bk1productions.com. Now, who we're talking about is the video tech guy. And Brian has put some really, really cool videos together that is, of course, reminiscent of the Floyd shows. And but it's kind of his own rendition that he puts together. So not only do you get the great, great music of Pink Floyd as rendered by Britt Floyd, but also on the back screen, excuse me, some really great video work that has been done. Now, I know that a lot of people ask this stuff, so I'll ask it for people. The blow-up animals, what are you guys going to have for Britt Floyd, if any?
The inflatables. Well, we usually have a pig, somewhere in hiding at the back of the stage, you know, waiting to appear at the right moment.
Big so, giant flying pig.
Exactly. You know, I think you know it's one of the things that a Pink Floyd concert is synonymous with is a large inflatable pig for whatever reason. So, hopefully we can get that in the venues along the way on this tour, too.
Yeah, of course, it does matter whether or not the stage is big enough, so we'll let folks know about that.
It definitely plays a part some nights.
Yeah. So how many, have you kept count of how many Pink Floyd tribute bands are in the world right now, including yourselves?
I think I lost count quite a long time ago. There are so many of them. I think there are about 50 in Italy alone for some reason.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
50 just in the country of Italy?
Yeah, they seem to be very much into the very early Floyd there. There's a lot of Syd Barrett and sort of pre-Dark Side of the Moon themed Floyd tribute bands in that part of the world.
Wow. I think probably because the band was over there a lot as well. And living abroad, as they say, in different places.
Well, of course, Live at Pompeii was shot is in Italy, of course.
That's right. You know, talk about some great footage. One of my favorite videos is the Pompeii. You know, and it's funny, I always say, if it wasn't for Pink Floyd, I wouldn't even know what a mud volcano was. Or is.
Well, don't they have them in Yellowstone or something similar?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't remember them talking about it in school. If they did, I wasn't paying attention. I was listening to Pink Floyd. So, yeah, I've learned, that's one of the things I can say about Pink Floyd. Through their work, I have learned so many things about science, the world, the universe, that is just, can't even compare. I know it sounds silly, but I in my personal life cannot compare it to what I learned in school, because I was focused more on what they were doing and ended up learning so much more. You know, if they mentioned fractal geometry, I had no clue what it was in school. They might have mentioned it. I don't remember. But boy, did I learn what fractal geometry is from Pink Floyd. I know that sounds crazy, but they put what they were into the music, and it came through. And
They were and are very clever guys.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Absolutely. So, well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and do a segue into our last song and let you go for the day. And I, of course, hang on the line because I do want to talk to you for a minute off the air. But
okay.
I do want to remind everybody, of course, it's Hemp Rock Radio. My very, very special guest today is Damian Darlington, the lead guitarist of the Brit Floyd, the British Pink Floyd tribute band for Pink Floyd, and they are kicking off their American tour February 23rd in Pittsburgh, and I appreciate him joining me today for the first time, finally, and I will be kicking off another song from their live set, and you guys will know the song, but I want to remind everybody, of course, it is Medical Marijuana Week. Call Obama, the president. Tell him you're disgusted and you want him to keep his promises to the medical marijuana states. That number, 202-456-1414. Also, Also tomorrow, Howard Wooldridge, retired police officer, formerly with LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, now with COPS, Citizens Opposing Prohibition, will be on talking about his appearances and meanderings at the Conservative PAC conference in Atlanta, Georgia this past weekend and how much fun he had with all those conservative people. Anyway, Damien, hang on the line. I'm going to roll up this clip. Again, it's Britt Floyd live with Pink Floyd. Damien, hang on the line.
Okay.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on WBQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at weedradionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Inside Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at weedradionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WVQC-LP is Jay All Day with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood.
WVQC, people-powered radio.